This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondori & Murad, would like to know. It will help you to draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. You got to check them out at kmlawyers.com. That's where you can schedule a free consultation with them. And by the way, their services are discounted. If you tell them that you're a listener to this program, they'll cut you a deal. kmlawyers.com. We love those guys. It is time to get you your Beltway Blitz. The Nationals coming up. Happy Cade Cavalli Day, everybody.
Night.
He'll make his second start of the season, third career start. Tonight in Kansas City, we'll also break down the Commanders, but let's get things started on the gridiron. Mike Jones of The Athletic to get things going. Mike, Shedeur Sanders was the talk of football this weekend. What did you think of his performance?
You know, I thought it was solid. You know, you saw him start to develop into a rhythm. I know he would have liked to have started faster, but I think he definitely put pressure on Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel. He didn't have a lot of team reps, and he was able to go out there and execute and get his team, you know, down the field and, you know, two touchdown passes. I think that, you know, that's all he could have hoped for. You get the opportunity, make good of it, and I think that, you know, we'll see. And Kevin Stefanski said he was going to get more reps in team drills and things like that. So we'll see where this is headed, but trending in the right direction.
Mike, to borrow from the great Alex Ovechkin, if he played for the New York Giants and he gave a speech and says, we're not going to be bleeping suck this year, I think he might be right. I know I'm overreacting to one preseason game where Abdul Carter looks incredible and Jackson Dart looked pretty solid, but I think the Giants, again, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team or a playoff team or anything. I don't think they're going to be a disaster, though. And I think people are kind of counting them that way. Give me your thoughts.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't get too excited yet. You know, I really like Brian Daboll. I think that they are slowly adding pieces. I don't think that they will suck. I don't think that they'll be great. You know,
that's kind of where I am.
You know, but again, I don't know how much more we got from Russell Wilson before he turns into a pumpkin. Jackson Dart, maybe, but once you get up against, you know, NFL defensive coordinators that are game planning for you, it's going to get that much more complicated. Yes, he has a talented receiver in Malik Nabers to throw to, but again, I think that they're still, you know, a little ways from being a factor.
Jonesy, how do you see the NFC North, and with all the changes for the Lions losing both coordinators, are they still decidedly the best team in that division?
I think that they are up there. I think that they will be dealt a blow having lost Ben Johnson. I'm really curious how Derek Goff responds. I know we've seen him grow since he's been in Detroit, but now you've got a new guy in your ear, a guy who runs a similar philosophy to Dan Campbell, but very much different from Ben Johnson. And so I think that, you know, there's going to be more pressure on Goff, and we'll see how he handles with it. Defensively, I think that they will be okay. I don't think that they're going to be exactly what they were under Aaron Glenn, but they at least have been working on a succession plan for their defensive coordinator. So I think that they have enough talent, enough veteran leadership to be competitive in that division. I think that the Packers might leapfrog them, from a continuity and building standpoint. And then we'll see what happens with the Vikings. Yes, they have a lot around J.J. McCarthy, but it is a first-year starter. And the Bears are still very much a question mark. And so it'll be the Lions up there, but they might wind up finishing second in that division.
Has Atlanta done enough to possibly challenge Tampa Bay in that stupid NFC South?
I don't know. We're going to see. They added pass rushers, which they definitely needed. But the quarterback situation is something where Michael Penix Jr. definitely flashed late in the season. But what kind of a leap is he going to take now entering the first full season as a starter? Tampa Bay really has, they've got a good thing going there. They are healthier on defense than they've been in a long time. There was a lot of masking and duct taping together that Todd Bowles had to do defensively. They feel better about their health now. Obviously, they've got some injuries on the offensive side of the ball that it's going to take them a little while. Tristan Wirfs isn't going to be ready to start the season, but they feel good about their rookie class. I think Tampa is still the favorite in that division. And then we'll see what happens with, New Orleans and, if either one of them or Atlanta could surprise and contend.
Mike, stay in the South, but hop over to the AFC. What kind of chance is there that Liam Cohen, super sharp, gets Trevor Lawrence going and Jacksonville surprises this year?
No, I think that there is a good chance for that. From just what I was able to see when I was out there for a training camp last week, it just looks like the concepts are there in their offense to make things easier on their quarterback and get the ball out of his hands. And, we saw what he did with Baker Mayfield. We saw, he was there with the Rams, and they were dealing with, a lot of injuries, but they really got as much as they could out of them. This is a bright offensive-minded guy who really believes in supporting the quarterback with his concepts. And so I think that is what Trevor Lawrence has needed. It was a disaster with Urban Meyer, and then Doug Peterson came in and gave some stability, but it just kind of felt like Doug Peterson was like, yeah, I got my Super Bowl ring, I'm okay, and didn't really further evolve his concepts from when he was in Philadelphia, didn't really help them take steps forward in Jacksonville. So now you have a young, bright, innovative offensive mind. You've got weapons all around him. I think that we see them jump back into the mix of things in the AFC South and possibly challenge Houston.
Mike, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
All right, see you guys.
Absolutely. Hit that Nats sounder, please. Bobby Blanco from the Bronx talking about the Nats. They won a series, Bobby. Remember series wins? How fun was that?
Yeah, they did win a series. First time in 2 weeks, probably since the first time since before you left for Scotland. They finally got back in the win column. Win 2 in a row against the Giants after getting shut out on Friday night. They were shut out in back-to-back games, that last game against the A's, and then the opener in San Francisco on Friday, but come back and put together a heck of an offensive performance yesterday against Justin Verlander. I know Verlander isn't what he used to be, but he's still a future Hall of Famer that, is an intimidating presence on the mound. The Nats collect, I think it was like 11 hits off of him, scored 5 runs early. C.J. Abrams with a 2-run bomb. James Wood getting his swing back. He had 2 or more RBIs in back-to-back games for the first time since I think late June, and Mackenzie Gore on the mound was shoving. Whatever went wrong in his last outing where he was getting lit up against the Athletics, he fixed. Got 10 strikeouts. That was his first double-digit K performance, I think, since April. And, everyone kind of came together and played really well. Even guys like Josh Bell and Paul DeJong contributed. It wasn't just, the guys like C.J. James and Mackenzie. It was kind of everybody up and down the lineup. And now they head to Kansas City to play another team that's still trying to stay remain relevant in the postseason race. So these Royals have something to play for, so the Nats can maybe play some spoiler here.
Yeah, the Nats outscored the Giants 12-2 in 2 wins to win the series on Saturday and Sunday. And you mentioned the starting pitching to get them across the finish line. Brad Lord, who's been great, 6 innings in a run, and then Mackenzie Gore, 6 shutout, 10 strikeouts. What did you notice that was different? And is my theory that maybe he was tipping pitches in his last start against the A's possible? I mean, he got rocked so hard, 12 hits, 8 earnings, 3 innings. I just don't remember him being that unable to fool anybody with anything. It just seems to me like something was amiss in that game, and he looked completely different this time out.
Yeah, I'm with you, Grant. I think there was something to maybe the tipping his pitches against the Athletics because you're right. I mean, even on McKenzie's bad day, he still gets swing and miss. And that was his first game of his major league career. He didn't record a strikeout. The A's were all over his first pitches every single time. They recorded 12 hits off of him, scored 8 runs in just 3 frames. And then it's the complete opposite this time around against the Giants. Only 3 hits, no runs at all, and 10 Ks. Like I mentioned, I think the first time he had 10 Ks since April. So I think there was something there. The Athletics obviously picked up on something and were able to jump all over him. Whatever that was, he got back in the lab with Jim Hickey and Sean Doolittle and figured it out and was dominant, back to his normal self. And this is a good sign, too, because it's not just the Athletics outing. You know, he got roughed up by Houston. He got roughed up by the Padres. He had been going through a little bit of a rut, so it is good to see him get back on the mound, put up a couple of zeros, and get a lot of swing and miss stuff and go deep into the game.
Roberto, speaking of ruts, James Woods' OPS, 100 points less, or more than 100 points less than it was on July 4th. Batting average dropped a little bit. Hits in 3 straight games, doubled, 2 hits, rather, in each of the last 2 games in San Francisco. What were you seeing from him in terms of that slump and that scuffle? And, you know, is this the way out of it now?
Yeah, I think that he was getting frustrated him forcing the issue, I think, a little bit. I mean, everyone goes through a slump, but this is really the first time he has gone through a prolonged slump and you know, not being able to get results. And then whatever it was, he was able to kind of reset and calm, waited for his pitches, got the ball in the strike zone, and just used his, you know, raw power and athleticism to get the ball through the gaps. You know, the double he hit off Verlander yesterday was just a hard hit ball down the right field line to get past the first baseman and drove in a couple of runs. And then, yeah, the leadoff homer on Saturday. I mean, that must have felt so good. I mean, the way he's been slumping recently, hasn't hit a home run in, you know, coming up on a month, and to get the leadoff homer on Saturday, get the boys out front early after being shut the night before, must have felt good. So, yeah, he had a big weekend in the Bay. Hopefully that carries over to Kansas City.
Let's talk one more before we let Bobby Blanco run on the Nats here on our Beltway Blitz. Cade Cavalli starts tonight. His outing at Nationals Park as he made his season debut going back 5 days ago against the A's was electric. He reminded everyone why he was one of the best pitching prospects in baseball at one point in time. Touched 100 multiple times, sat 98-99 in the first inning, had a great curveball. The changeup was elite as well. What did you make of that start, and just how intrigued are you going into tonight to see if he can make it 2 in a row?
I think every start that Cade makes the rest of the way is going to be intriguing because the Nationals have to figure out what he's got in them. You know, it's going to be hard to judge. Hopefully he gets about 10 starts the rest of the way. It's, you know, late in the season. This team doesn't have too much to play for in terms of standing or winning games. But, you know, Cade is pitching right now to show that he can be a part of this rotation moving forward. You know, it was almost 3 years to the date where he made his debut when he came against the Athletics. And you touched on everything right there, Grant. I mean, like, all of his pitches looked electric. And I talked to him the day after that outing, and he said, man, it felt really good, not just to, like, get back out there, but to have success and to have the fastball be lively, to have the curveball and changeup keep hitters off balance. And he only issued 1 walk. He only gave up 3 hits. You know, he probably could have got deeper into that game, 4 1/3, but his pitch count got high because the defense made a couple errors behind him, which extended some innings longer than they needed to be. So he did everything, I think, in that first outing that he needed to do to show to me that, okay, this guy can have sustained success at the majors. Let's see how he builds on it in the second start, the third, fourth, and see how he finishes this season strong. Because, you know, going into that outing against the Athletics, I mean, that's a lot of emotion for him. Like I said, almost 3 years since making his major league debut, has dealt with a lot of injuries, a lot of back and forth, not a lot of sustained success at AAA. And so to come back, harness all of that emotion, and put together a really solid outing, hopefully he can do it again tonight and maybe even get deeper into the game.
Bobby, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Yeah, boys. Thanks so much for having me.
See you, my friend. Hit that Local 53 sounder, please. Our pal Nick Ackridge of Pro Football Focus joins us to break down what he saw from the Local 53. Nick, give me your overall assessment from this past Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, score was not great. I think we can all agree with that. But for me, I'm just kind of looking at individual players. Obviously, we know that a decent chunk of the starters were out. So for me, I'm just kind of looking at young guys, young rookies that, you know, they spent some high draft picks on that were playing. And I was impressed with some guys. I thought Josh Connerly had a pretty solid game. I thought Trey Amos, in very limited snaps, had a good game. So that's kind of what I was looking for, and I was impressed by some guys.
Is there a case to be made, because it was many guys that won't be on the team, that Friday night was actually a really good thing because it kind of gives Dan Quinn a chance to really get to coaching now and grab some face masks if he wants to and says, you know, let's get it going?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing to get the special teams in order, that's for sure. That was probably the one area that was the biggest concern after that performance. And, yeah, like you said, it's an opportunity for him to really kind of yell at some guys because the special teams performance was not great.
Nick, you mentioned Connerly. I was impressed. And listen, I'm not sitting there breaking down tape or film like you are, but he was very noticeable to me on a couple different plays. You know, just made a couple athletic things look pretty easy. The type of way that I feel like a lesser athlete would have been more labored, you know, to get out to a defensive end that's lined up wide or get to the second level in kind of the run blocking game. Even if plays weren't good, I was just watching him a couple times and just kind of go, I see what they were in love with. I kind of see the athleticism there. Maybe the rest of it will come. Just kind of give me your assessment.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with what you said with that last line. I really saw the explosiveness, the athleticism. And, you know, that's something they've been missing for a while. But you can just see him, like you said, he just pops off the tape. And he really can explode to the second level, get to linebackers pretty easily, you know, reach defensive ends. One thing he's going to have to work on is kind of tone down that aggressiveness with some pass pro reps. Was kind of jumping a little too wide on some reps. But that is kind of understandable considering he's playing right tackle and not left tackle like he was in college. So still kind of some learning moments there, but in the run game, loved what I saw from him, just really just exploding off line of scrimmage.
Story or not a story, Matt Gay was automatic for a huge portion of the early part of camp, and then right before they go to New England, had a couple rough practices apparently. Then he misses a kick in the preseason game. He's not competing with anyone. Dan Quinn was asked about it today. Thing or not a thing?
I think it's a thing. I mean, I'm going to continue to say that the kicking thing is a thing until, you know, somebody can come out and prove to be very consistent there. I think the field goal kicker has obviously been a problem for a while now, and it's going to be a thing for me until, you know, someone finally steps up and just starts consistently nailing kicks.
Take it wherever you want here. Who hurt themselves the most in this preseason game?
Yeah, I think it's kind of, you know, it's tough to say because he just got cut, but I think Dominic Hampton really, it was a rough game overall for him. I just don't think he kind of fit at that linebacker position, was just overall just not great, was hesitant to kind of attack the line of scrimmage. And, yeah, I guess that was kind of an easy answer since he was just cut, but that was kind of one guy that really, really stood out.
Well, Nick, to that point, he was the first guy that this regime has drafted that they've moved on from. You know, if you look at last year's draft class, and obviously so far this year's group, he's the only guy that's no longer on the team that's been cut. And so they really saw something they didn't like to work out 14 guys, many of them at his position, sign one and release him shortly after the game.
Yeah, linebacker was kind of tough this last week. I just think that, you know, they're trying to find a spot for him. He's kind of too big for safety, too small for linebacker, so they were just trying to see what he had. He played 42 snaps, almost was kind of the highest of really anybody. And it just didn't work. He just didn't have that kind of that physicality to really take on blockers in the run game, and it really hurt him.
Nick, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
Nick Akridge of PFF on Grant and Danny. Kane Medrano made him a little bit redundant, I think, anyway, because that was this year's version of that guy, like the safety, linebacker, tweener, special teamer type guy. And I think Medrano's had a good enough camp. Watching both of them in the game, you kind of feel, all right, we like this version better. Now let's bring in an actual linebacker that can help provide some depth there. Especially because Jordan McGee's done, as impressive as he is when he actually plays, he's been hurt incessantly. I mean, since he got here at this point. Was Friday a possible benefit? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing to get the special teams in order, that's for sure. That was probably the one area that was the biggest concern after that performance. And yeah, like you said, it's an opportunity for him to really kind of yell at some guys because the special teams performance was not great.
Nick Akridge, moments ago on our Beltway Blitz. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Jeremy Fowler's had a ton of insight into the Terry McLaurin situation over the last several weeks, and matter of fact, last week he was the guy with the most new intel on what's going on with McLaurin. So we wanted to track him down. We'll have him on the show at 5 o'clock today right here on The Fan. We will get to the bottom of McLaurin and the Commanders with the ESPN Insider. That's coming up in 33 minutes. But Danny, you are of the belief that the bludgeoning at the hands of the Patriots with Washington's backups in the game and none of their starters really playing was a good thing.
I am 100% in favor of it in this sense. There's been way too much. We've arrived, not necessarily from the team. I don't blame anybody specifically. It's not one person, but it's whether it's a sentiment among the fan base, whether it's kind of this internal feeling that's kind of leaked externally. Everyone's just kind of assuming. I mean, every year, and again, I understand it's different ownership, different regimes, different, you know, idiots were in charge. But every time Washington would go on some kind of winning streak in one of those fluky years, people would go, ah, that's who we are now. I remember after 2012, people that had covered this league for a long time, insiders and everybody smart, people that were connected, were openly talking about 12, 13 wins going into 2013. There was this assumption that, yep, we've got it, we're good. And that sort of feeling, that arrogance, that puffing your chest out because you're one of the cool kids now, has been permeating everywhere. And it's not me telling you that the bottom is falling out, they're about to have a disastrous season or anything like that. But my point is, there's been an assumption. There's been this, all we've got to do is roll 53 jerseys out with the appropriate burgundy and some footballs, and we're going to sleepwalk our way to 11, 12, 13 wins. And my point is, if anything, it's harder. The analogy you always use is it's harder to write the second bestseller than it is the first. I think that's a thing. You're now a targeted team. You are now circled on your back. And that preseason performance was so bad, it's a reminder that nothing is easy. It's a reminder. I know a lot of the guys, there's no Bobby Wagner on the field or no Jaden Daniels, none of the stars. That's not what it's about to me. The point to me is it ain't going to be that easy. If you want to have the kind of season you want to have, you are in for a harder fight than you had last year. And there's been way too much complacency. It just kind of felt like, whether it's an individual person or a moment, just kind of the vibe I've got, whether it's from the fan base or otherwise, this was just a smack of reality in your face. Cold water on the raging fire that is the hype train that's trying to leave the station for Washington. So to me, this was a great set of teachable moments where you heard Nick Akridge say it very well. This is teach tape. This is, I can grab you by the face mask and yell at you a little bit. This is a reminder that nothing is given to you. And if anything, it's going to be harder this year than it was last.
So I definitely think the fan base is walking around like RS doesn't stink a little bit. I get that vibe for sure. And I take pride in the fact that people feel good finally. So it's not like a bother right to me. It's not like I'm telling anybody, hey, don't be excited. You shouldn't be jacked up for the season.
But an important distinction. Thank you.
There is this like cock of the walk thing with the chest out, like we've made it as a fan base for sure. But I don't think that's the same as the team doing it at all. And so that would be the line I would draw. The media, similarly, the local media in town, not necessarily like some of the beat people that are covering this team day in and day out, but like what I would consider fanalists or people that are intertwined with the organization that are in the media, or even some of like the media that doubles as a fan, like that kind of group. Yes, there is a lot of pom-pom waving and like they're going to be so good and this is awesome. And again, some of that is it's a long time coming and you're kind of riding the wave a little bit. So I definitely think there's a reality to what you're suggesting. I just think that's a very different thing than the team operating that way. And I don't necessarily get that sense. It might be that behind the scenes they think they're going to be really good, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But do you think that Peters and Quinn are walking around like they've made it? Is that what you're suggesting? Do you think that in their mind they now expect or they, you know, they'd be shocked if the team comes out and doesn't play at the same level, or that the players are assuming that they're one of the best in the NFC? Because I think the fan part, check. The media part, yeah, I think you're right. Cart before the horse a little bit here. But that's so different than what's happening between the walls and the building.
Probably, to a degree. I would say that Peters and company are acting like they're pretty good, though. I mean, you're not willing to spend a dollar more to pay Terry McLaurin, as if to say this will work itself out. There's some other big game hunting they could have done this offseason, both at the defensive end, defensive line positions.
Last year, I think that's maybe more just how he does it than like thinking
entirely possible.
Because last year they did the same thing, and he didn't think they were that good. Now they accidentally were.
Yeah.
But in other words, I remember having the same complaint with you 1 year ago, where it's like they didn't want to upgrade this position, and it ended up rearing its head a little bit. Like they could have made a few more moves, and maybe who knows. You play a closer NFC Championship game, or you're a little bit better team in the regular season. But it worked out okay.
No, it certainly did, especially given the context of the year before and the years before where you were under-talented dramatically. They're better, and I'm not complaining about that necessarily. So I'm not accusing Dan Quinn of not having his head on straight. But I do wonder. I do wonder about the players, if some of that attention doesn't get to you in a certain kind of way. So again, nothing has been hurt yet. And that's kind of my point here. Is if you just sort of given that kind of effort and still beat New England or played much better against them and held your own, then there's no lesson learned. And that's kind of my point here. Is this is a, all it is cold water. Is a reminder that it ain't that easy, right? So the players hopefully had that, oh, that's right. This is a war. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be that simple. I don't think this is a, you know, Lance Newmark and company are going, yep, we got it. We're already done. See you in the NFC title game. I don't think that's the case. I don't mean to imply that.
No, I didn't think you were. But what I'm saying is, if the fans are being overzealous in how good the team's going to be, which is probably true, and the media is kind of falling into this, like, you know, let's all revel in this and celebrate in this, and, you know, anybody says anything other than the best quarterback in the world's on this team, and Dan Quinn's awesome when he turns his hat around, like, you just get a bunch of people yelling at you.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you know, roll around in the fun of the team being good right now, and I think you're seeing some of that. But all I'm saying is that doesn't matter any more than when someone suggests, like, you guys need to keep focused on the Bengals. You know, you and Danny are talking too much about 2 weeks from now. You need to keep focused on the Bengals. And I'm like, bro, I don't play the games.
Right.
Like, I'm going to be looking ahead to the game where the division's on the line next week, in 2 weeks, against the Cowboys, even though the Bengals game is this week. Yes, they're playing the 0-11 Cincinnati. I'm making this up. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm not a player, bro. And so I'm kind of saying the same thing to you, which is,
yeah,
I think what you're perceiving as happening, it's very possible. I'm not saying it isn't, but I have no evidence to think that it is, if that makes sense.
Fair enough.
There's no reason to assume, other than the point is, you know, if the fans are doing this and the media is doing this, you might be reading your press clipping.
Yeah, so number one, I don't know if it is or isn't, whatever this phenomenon that we're talking about is. I do know that they got embarrassed and were terrible.
So that brings
this past
me to my
Friday.
Next point. Not their good players. So, like, when you right. say that they learned a lesson, no, they didn't. Deebo Samuel's not watching Chris Moore drop passes going, man, if you drop passes in this league, you lose. Like, those guys are advisors. They're talking to Logan Paulson and the guy from Redskins TV doing sideline interviews the whole time, or Commanders TV, I apologize. And, you know, they're doing whatever that is, like cutting up and having a good old time. I guess that's where I would disagree with the premise, maybe. And we can open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. But, like, I don't think enough good players is not a good term.
I know what you mean, though. Starter, frontline players.
The real-life mm-hmm. players that are going to determine what they are this year played for this to be like an eye-opening moment. If Johnny Newton got pancaked three times and we're watching that in the fill room, maybe. If Trey Amos went out there and got worked, if you played your starters and you were down 14-0 in New England, I think that's a, oh, thank God, that this is a reality check. This was a, we're not breaking a sweat. We're all on the sideline throwing the basketball around with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, we just want people to be
quarter.
Healthy.
So that's how I view it.
Which I think is fine. So that to me is almost secondary for my point. Again, we treat not meeting expectations as like one of the ultimate crimes in sports, right? Not just you and me, but everybody. So I guess I'm more talking almost to the fans and assembled media and whoever that's crowning everybody before anything real
so
has happened.
So that's what
this
I was
year.
Trying to get
and
to.
And that's really what ultimately I care about more than the players having some teach tape. It's the... You and I have tried to say this a couple times, and I don't want to steal put words in your mouth, but I think you've said this, and I certainly have too. It is my belief they could be better than last year and have by far a worse record. Lose two more games, maybe three more games, and still be on paper a better football team than they were last year, and not get every break, and not catch a Hail Mary, and have some stuff happen with a better schedule. And we'll treat that as this. And again, the Houston comp is the one that fits to me like a T. This is a disastrous organization in the wake of Deshaun Watson. We're in the wake of Dan Snyder. A scandal for the ages, right? A joke of a team, can't get out of their own way, has their first good season in a while, and everybody in the preseason rankings has them challenging Kansas City, challenging Buffalo, being the elite of the AFC. They were fine. 10-17, won a playoff game. Nothing wrong with what they did, but the expectations had, I mean, the flames were fanned like you wouldn't believe. Because this team went to the NFC title game last year,
yeah,
that's what the expectations are. And if they fall short of that by, you know, finishing second in the division to Philadelphia, the first back-to-back win in this division in decades, because they're incredibly well-built and awesome, and they only win a wild card game and lose in the second round, people are going to treat it as this insult to them and this grave disappointment. And I guess my point is, let's not have that happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's this assumption among way too many people, and that's, I guess, more what I'm addressing than teach tape.
And I don't disagree with the premise, by the way. We've talked about it all offseason. In fact, we've kind of discussed this, I would say, a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that the game they just played is relevant that much. Maybe that's the difference. Whereas you came out of that and you're going, thank God they just got their butts beat, because it's going to help them in the long run, and they're going to go back to the drawing board, and they're going to like take things more seriously, whatever it is that you think. And I'm going, I just don't think that game has anything to do with what is a larger point, which is the Texans is kind of the example. Unbelievable offseason. You went in with everything going your way. Your coordinator's getting head coaching interviews. Stroud just had one of the best rookie seasons that we've ever seen. Very relatable content. And then it didn't go as well. Like, that is normal. The league is, it's hard to win up here, as Joe Gibbs says. So I don't disagree in any way with what you're suggesting. I just don't take Friday night's performance, where quite literally almost 90% of the guys that played any real snaps will not be on the team, to be the eye-opening endeavor that some people are suggesting. It's not just you, but I've seen this where it's like, that's going to be exactly what they need to get going now. Dudes were just cutting up on the sideline, man. Like they were, it was a night off for them. Like they were literally having a good old time. And they look at the score and they're like, ah, that was it. We were just trying to get the kids some run, man. They're putting out tape for next year and the year after. They'll be on someone's practice squad. Now, if starters play against Cincinnati and they get outscored 21-3 by Burrow and the Bengals, and they commit 9 penalties while the starters are in there, I would make the point you just made. This is the best thing that could have happened to them. I'm just not willing to make it about Friday night because there just wasn't enough real-life Commanders football being played for me to feel like it was significant. Can Quinn use it to motivate and to like show, here's what happens when you get behind the sticks on 3rd and 11 now. Look at him coming off the edge, and we can't hold up. I guess. But if I'm, you know, Laremy Tunsil, I'm not necessarily watching the guy whose name I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not watching him going, well, I'll be in the same situation as that guy. But I want to open up the phones on this. 800-636-1067. Danny thinks Friday night is a huge positive, and maybe he's glad it happened because he thinks it could lead to some good for this team. I just don't know if it was relevant enough for the veterans on the team to care a whole lot about what happened. But I think the point's the point, which is not to say you have any pause, but was it a moment where you kind of go, all right, let's hit the brakes a little bit? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Jeremy Fowler with the latest on McLaurin and the Commanders. He's been doing the heavy lifting on the reporting for ESPN on that issue. That's coming up in 15 minutes. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. All of our training camp and Commanders coverage comes your way this time of year, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Danny is actually happy that Friday night happened. He thinks that it could be a bit of a wake-up call. I just don't think enough of their important players played for that to necessarily be the case, although I certainly understand the idea that it's very possible that after last year's magical carpet ride, you know, the team comes in with a slightly overinflated version and ego of itself. But Jaden Daniels didn't go, man. You know, like, none of the guys that really matter a ton, there are a few of them that did, but 30 players didn't play. I don't take a lot more out of it than that. Other than of the guys that did play, many of them you don't necessarily want working their way up the depth chart via injury or any other circumstance, you know, early this season. Let's go to Alex in Clifton. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Listening to this conversation, it occurred to me, if you look back at last season, it was a little bit of a fluke. They had a soft schedule. They barely squeaked through with six games, winning at the last second. It gave him a little bit of an inflated ego. What if that's part of what's driving McLaurin asking for more money? He thinks, well, Jaden's here. He's only here for limited time. I'm going to get my money now because everybody wants to continue that ride. Now this season you got a little harder schedule and you're not going to get that many wins. Is that what's pushing a lot of this holdout?
Appreciate you, buddy. This is a deep cut. There might be three people that may pick up on this. His voice sounded just like Mike Tannenbaum, the old GM of the Jets.
ESPN analyst?
You got to be an audiophile or like a big-time NFL mark to even be able to place that.
It didn't ring to me, but
that
I hear you.
It sounded a lot like Mike Tannenbaum. That having been said, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything he said is possible. I mean, we've talked about this for months, this possibility that they were lucky. You know, I remember having a big conversation, people getting very upset about it, where a data guy actually came out and said they were the luckiest team in the NFL in a lot of categories, including drop passes against. I mean, really minute, detailed things that he studied. And a lot of things did go perfectly, in addition to Daniels being unbelievable to go to the NFC Championship game. And a regression could be coming, and they do have a tougher schedule, and they might be overconfident. I guess the only difference is I don't think Friday night's game, where third and fourth stringers got embarrassed by the Patriots, in any way influences how I feel about this team right now. I guess that's my point.
Which makes sense. I mean, there are guys that played, that are going to play, that played this past Friday. And that to me is the key part.
The most important ones played pretty well, though.
Yeah. I mean, Noah Igbinoghene was on the field for almost 40 snaps.
Awesome.
And
yeah.
I thought he was pretty good. Tyler Owens, who I think may end up playing a little bit. You know, had a couple nice moments.
He didn't play one snap on defense last year.
But yeah, special teams wasn't particularly good, letting up a bunch of kick returns. That's Jeremy Reeves. That's all the same normal guys. I mean, again, to me, it's – but you're right in general. Of course, it's not a lesson for used Laremy Tunsil. He'll be fine one way or the other. If they played well, they played poorly, that guy's still good at left tackle. This, to me, was just a reminder that the dudes that are going to fill in at some point and play key roles at various points this year – can't just walk out there because they're the same uniform and they're next to Jaden Daniels, so therefore they've arrived too.
Sure, certainly. Also, a Tyler Owens with 10 starters around him is a different Tyler Owens maybe.
Totally.
Than Tyler Owens with 10 non-NFL players around him, right? Disco and Laurel. What's up, Disco? How are you?
Hey, guys. Good evening. Two quick points. One, I do think, and I like the conversation about the arrogance. I think there is some arrogance around the whole Jaden Daniels. You know, we've got five. As long as we got five, we're good. We're Jaden Daniels. Oh, no, we'll be fine. So I think there's a little bit of arrogance
there. I
do agree
with that.
Yeah, that's something.
That's a thing.
We've seen, you know, as good as the guy is, the NFL guys, we've seen it time and time again. They get paid, too. They get paid to watch film. They get paid to figure Jaden Daniels out. So I think there's a lot of arrogance around. All we got is five, so we're good. Then the last point I want to make is, does resting 30 starters say I've arrived? Now, I get it. I don't want to get hurt, but, I mean, look, it depends on what they're going to do against the Bengals. You don't just flip a switch and just say, okay, now we're going to play football with 30 guys. I mean, we've got a tough schedule. We don't have time to fumble around with the Giants and the Bears and try to figure this thing out. Does resting 30 starters say, yeah, we've arrived, we don't need to have those guys play?
That's a great point.
Good point, too.
I think they did that last year. I mean, there's so many teams around the league that do it, if we're being honest. But I don't know if it was 30. I can't tell you that. They have a better team now in terms of talent, in terms of veterans, right? So there might have only been like 20 of the A-listers, we'll call it, last year, and now there are 30 of those guys or something that they feel like don't need to play in that first preseason game to get ready. because they just had that really hard joint practice against New England. But I think it's a good point. It's a good question. I don't have a great answer. I don't know that there is one right now. But if they sat 25 guys in the first game last year, then it would deflate the balloon a little bit on right. This is them saying they've arrived. But yeah, that is one way they're acting like. I know this. They're acting with Jaden Daniels like he's got nothing to show or prove or that they don't need to see anything. And by the way, I get it. I'm with you.
Sure.
But my point is if that's true, if we agree that that's how they're treating Daniels if he plays a series this preseason, we got to say that about everybody else too.
Yeah, I don't care if I'm a 4-13 team entering this from last year entering this year. I'm not playing Bobby Wagner in the first preseason game. Gold jacket, he's done enough.
Yeah.
But I don't know where that line is for me. I don't know if it's at 30 guys. Right? Maybe it was 22 guys. Maybe it's 17 guys. I mean, there's a lot of guys that wouldn't play for me in that first preseason game.
Nick Allegretti didn't have to play?
Yeah, you know, he's got nothing to do.
As far as the arrogance goes, to use the word of the last couple of calls, there is arrogance in the McLaurin situation, for sure to me. Like 1,000%.
From the team's perspective.
Absolutely.
Mean, yeah.
The two callers ago was like, Terry McLaurin, might be showing that he's arrogant by looking for the money or whatever. I just think it's the other way around. Now, the team is more right on the money. I keep saying this over and over and over again. But they are doing a thing they don't have to do. You can't overpay by a couple million dollars. It's not that big of a deal. It's not the end of the world. And avoid what has been a pretty stupid standoff, in my opinion, that is just largely unnecessary at a position where you're not good enough without him. This is not needed. Are they eventually going to get him for a much cheaper rate than if they just signed him a month ago? Yes. You don't have to win every deal. I go back to the Chris Canty point from ESPN. You were out last week, but he kind of popped off on this idea of like sometimes GMs have a lot of success early and all of a sudden they become the smartest guy in the room. And I'm not saying that's the case with Adam Peters, but I do think there's a little bit of like, you're Terry McLaurin. We're the Commanders going on here.
See, sometimes these organizations, these front offices, they can operate in these negotiations with a tad bit of hubris. And it feels like that's what's happening with Adam Peters right now. Sometimes the worst thing that can happen to you in sports and in life is to have success early on because you think you know it all. And you try to hardline every single negotiation. You try to win every deal. Here's the thing that every successful business person knows. You can't win every deal. Every contract negotiation ain't gonna be a deal. Sometimes it's just getting the contract signed. And in this instance, that's exactly what needs to happen with Terry McLaurin because he means so much to Jaden Daniels' development. I don't understand why the Washington Commanders are taking this approach with somebody that from a locker room chemistry standpoint, from an on-field production standpoint, brings everything you want to the table.
So if it goes on, I'll jump back in. Mm-hmm. But my point, I guess, largely on playing that clip is that does feel like it's a we've arrived negotiation, in a sense. It feels to me like, what was the word that the callers were using? Like this ego part of running the team, or like, we're legit, right? Mm-hmm.
Hubris, arrogance,
I get arrogance was the word. Mm-hmm. There is an arrogance to how they're handling the Terry situation. I do believe that. Jeremy Fowler, speaking of McLaurin, has been all over it for ESPN. He's had a lot of updates over the last week. He joins us next with the latest on what's going on in this standoff on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.